Another issue that you spoke out was you fought for the women's right for an abortion.
Oh, yes. From the get-go, this became an issue because I certainly, and others like me, believe pro-choice. And I'm no fan of abortion, but I've been a parish minister for 60 years and more, and I know what people go through. In my second parish in Meadville, Pennsylvania, I did some counseling in those days, and women who had either had an abortion or been butchered in the process. My view, and my pre-med background too, I think every person has a right to medical care. Certainly a woman does. Any variety of kinds of things can happen to her in pregnancies and has a right to a decision. And I'm also married to a woman that if I had any other idea, I would not wake up tomorrow. As far as my wife is concerned, men have no business even having an opinion on this subject.
But that was also one of the issues. That may have been the best example of public disagreement and protest with the church and with you, perhaps in your ministry. I mean, I remember protesters on the parking lot.
Oh, yes, on one occasion. That was when NORAW was being founded, the National Association of Abortion Rights, the organization here in Tulsa. They were meeting in our parish hall. That's another thing about All Souls. If they won't have you anyplace else, you can meet there. So they were having a meeting, and I was in the board meeting or something at the other end of the building and walked out through the parking lot. I thought, well, I'll go over and make an appearance and say, I'm glad you're here and you're welcome and so forth. Well, I met these people out there, and this guy proceeded to give me the reading of Scripture, you know, and I took the Bible away from him and read the Scripture back to him and pointed my finger, thou art the man, and started beating him over the head with his Bible and sent him off down the parking lot. The janitor, who happened to be an African-American member of a congregation at the time, was standing by the kitchen and saw me doing it. And he said, what were you doing, that poor man? I said, well, he had my Bible, and he was quoting against me. Because the one thing I really get upset about is somebody thinks they know more about the Bible than I do. So anyway, long story short, first time the congregation voted unanimously was the public accommodations ordinance that I mentioned earlier. The second time was pro-choice. It's only done it twice, where the whole congregation has voted.
So where did it go from there, then?
The most interesting thing. Pat Malloy, Sr., Tony Ringgold, and somebody else, I can't remember who, the three other rascals. They're the three-judge panel from the Tenth Circuit, met here in Tulsa. The doctor, somebody from Grove, had performed abortions. He was an osteopath. They'd sent him to jail. He served a term of several years. When he got out, he sued the state for his arrest on this issue. It got to the federal court. Malloy and Ringgold and this gang had this case. I was called as an expert witness on the Bible by these rascals. Malloy, who's a Roman Catholic, Ringgold, a Unitarian but Jewish background. And what the issue was, did Bathsheba and David have an abortion, you know? David saw her over the parapets, and they got together, but she was pregnant. Now, what happened? Did she have a miscarriage, or was it abortion? And I said, it was an abortion. I forgot what his name was, but he was the presiding of the three guys. And I knew him because he happened to be a college fraternity brother of mine. He was a member of Boston Avenue Methodist and taught Bible class over there. But anyway, he agreed with me. It was collusion, I'm sure. He wanted somebody to come up and read this into the record. Well, the point, that is quite incidental, other than the fact that I was there. Turns out, though, had there not been Roe versus Wade, that would have been the precedent-setting decision, because they found in favor of this doctor. That would have been the legal precedent.
Mm-hmm.
Some years later, not that long ago, before Pat died, a woman from Mount Zion, I think hospital in New York, was doing research on abortions before Roe versus Wade and what this was all about and what we did here. Because for a long time, I was the conduit for abortion. Harold Hill, a professor in the religion department at TU, and I and several others. I had, through my discretionary fund at the church, several people who contributed large amounts of money to provide abortion for young women, and did.
So when you said you were a conduit, that's what you meant. Young women would come to see you.
Well, it mainly went through Harold. I'd get the money to take care of them. Occasionally, they'd come through me.
Planned Parenthood started there, didn't it?
No, you know, among other things. I was chairman of the board of Planned Parenthood, and then I was on the national board of Planned Parenthood just before this period. It had to be before because one of the other members of Planned Parenthood board, the national board, was a Roman Catholic priest. He was president of a college in Rochester, New York. He would not have been on the Planned Parenthood board had the abortion issue come alive yet, because he was on the religious advisory committee with me on that thing. He and I, as a matter of fact, used to go out and toddy together and drink together. We ended up in a hotel room one night after we seduced a good Methodist pastor from Texas, introduced him to bourbon. He and I ended up in his hotel room on St. Patrick's Day Eve, drinking some rye, and ended up in the St. Patrick's Day Parade and Fifth Avenue together the next day.
But
anyway, that's
but
an aside.
But you digress.
But I digress.
Does control over your own body have to do with ending your life?
You better believe it does. Sure, you get to an age. He's already into a euthanasia.
Which we can follow up on, but Planned Parenthood, per se, in Tulsa.
Clarence Canepa followed me as president of Planned Parenthood. He and I, and one other guy, he was a Disciples of Christ minister, whose name I have forgotten. We got the board of Planned Parenthood here. Estelle Antel was the director at the time. She was Jewish. We decided that we weren't going to do abortions. Planned Parenthood was not going to do abortions. If there was any chance for federal funding, we didn't want any part of it because it was too iffy. Plus the fact United Way wasn't going to have any truck with it. So we decided that we weren't going to do it. So Clarence and I and a couple of other people, we started reproductive services. We started that separate completely. Clarence and I had a meeting of the OBGYN Society in Tulsa County, a bigger bunch of Neanderthals you cannot possibly imagine, except for two guys in those days. There wasn't a woman among them. We tell them what we wanted to do, and we wanted their support. Boy, oh boy. We also went and visited Bishop Beltran when he came to town to welcome him to our diocese, because we wanted to make an agreement with him. We will not raise the abortion issue. We will not fire it up if you won't.
And his reaction to that?
He didn't think it was funny. But he didn't. And we didn't. Now, as it turns out, there were constant picketing of reproductive services, bomb threats, and all kinds of things that happened in that place.
How about yourself, personally? Were there threats against you?
Oh, yes. I used to keep it. I don't know, whatever happened. I had a stack of threatening letters and all kind of stuff.
Phone calls?
Oh, yeah. But always about something.
So it wasn't just abortion. It was about other things, too. Every stand you took.
Oh, back in the days of the United Nations, they accused us of having communist cell meetings in the basement of All Souls. And I said, we can't have it in the basement because we don't have a basement.
More than welcome in the sanctuary.
Did you ever really be nervous about your personal safety and your family looking over your shoulder?
Never did. Not really, never did. These people are cowards and they're not going to take you on.
Were there any other ministers in town who said, John, I agree with what you're saying, but there is no way I can say it myself?
Oh, well, yes.
They'd confide almost in you.
Oh, yes. I mean, Warren Holcren said to me one time, he says, Wolf, every time you call and you get me to put my name on a letterhead, I lose 600 members. Brandon Scott, he's one of the 100 Jesus scholars and is on the faculty at TU, said to me one time, he said, here's the conscience of Tulsa, All Souls. John Brewing said the same thing out of St. John's. He says, you take the lead, stick your neck out, we'll follow. Thanks a lot.
All right.
The Missouri Synod, you know, is really fundamentalist. I mean, it is literal. And most of it's Deutsch. Their seminary in St. Louis, at one point, they had a president by the name of Preuss, P-R-E-U-S-S, I think. He decided they weren't fundamental enough. and was going to insist that the Bible be taught, so and so and so on. Fired part of the faculty of that seminary. Clarence Canepa, among others, started a thing called Semin X, Seminary in Exile. This is Clarence Canepa now. This man had more guts than Carter's got pills. He set up Semin X, he and some others. He was president of Planned Parenthood, helped start Reproductives of Missouri Synod Lutheran, roamed with a Unitarian in Israel. That was Clarence Canepa, great man.
Did that synod have any leverage on him, or they just let him do his thing? They don't have
it,
really.
They tried everything they could think of. This congregation, Grace Lutheran Church, all power to its name at that time, backed him. They loved him, as well they should have. It's not that way anymore.